Okay, Hannah, exciting time here because it's going to be over to your good self to liaise with Lou to find out exactly what we're looking at here.
Yes. Lou, can you describe the scene for us, please?
Yes, it's raining. Yeah, we're standing at the edge of one of the cattle rings now. I'm just having a look. It's difficult for me to tell you exactly what class it is as I'm looking, because I'm seeing both males and females. Normally you come to the ringside and it would be one particular sex. But looking here, leading up a very, very nice Simmental with calf, followed by a Charolais, the Limousin, and then the blonde Aquitaine. I think this is the famous Houghton Cadbury. She was a major show winner last year, and it looks like she's come out and carried on again this year. I noticed the Longhorn, which you can see there at the back. You can see why he gets his name. It's a wonderful spread of his horns. The beautiful black Aberdeen Angus, which we see here coming around now, the big beef animal. And it looks like the judges... Oh, he's still getting them to go around again, so he's obviously not made his selections yet. He'll move them around a few times. This is where he's looking at the movement, the way the animal moves correctly. It walks well. It's no good just having a great big beef animal that stands there like a big lump. Remember, these have got to live out in the field, so they've got to have good locomotion, good musculature. So that's why he walks them around the ring a few times. And then he will, they call it tapping out, when he will tap his stick onto the back of the beast, which he's going to give the first prize to. So we'll just have to watch him now and see which one he decides is his champion.
It might be worthwhile actually covering, Lou, why they use that stick.
Yeah, you'll see them using the stick. When they bring them round and get them to stand, he will use the stick to poke the animal's foot to make it stand in the perfect square position so that it shows off a beautiful flat back line. And you'll see it now. We'll move a little bit closer. It's a bit of activity, so he's probably telling his stewards now which beast he wants in which position.
He seems to have been joined by another bull which has just entered the ring.
Yes, this is the classic beast from this area. This is the Lincoln Red. It's the national beast of Lincolnshire. It used to be a dual-purpose breed, where it would be a dairy breed, i.e. giving milk, but the calves were also useful. If they weren't needed for the dairy industry, they would go for the beef industry. So it's what we call a dual-purpose animal. The one that's just passed us here is the Belgian Blue, known for what we call double muscling. If you look at the back end of it, it's got two pieces of muscles, where every other beast would normally only have one.
Oh yeah, I see that there.
See it?
Yeah.
It, both sideways and backwards. The Lincoln Red here with just a normal rear end. The Longhorn here with a normal rear end.
Something vaguely ennobling about standing in the English rain, getting a tan, as John Lennon and Paul McCartney once said, whilst we have some martial music in the background. Hannah O'Brien is doing some wonderful tweeting. And Lou, it looks as though we're getting close to getting a result in this cattle parade.
Yeah. The judges, there's a group of judges working here. As the lady there just preempted me.
We have a representative from Lincoln Reds. Lincoln Reds is our local beef breed, one of the oldest native British beef breeds. It was developed from the ancient large cattle brought to the east of England by the Viking invaders. And the 21st century Lincoln Red is enjoying a resurgence in popularity.
This is something, of course, which one of our colleagues, James Barclay, was very keen to talk about there. We're listening to some of the commentary being put together on the main ring. This is actually an improvement on previous years, Lou, because oft times we've just been commentating ourselves and thinking we could do a much better job than this. They seem to have at least addressed that issue.
The Lincoln Red Breed was on show at the recent Beef Expo.
After a fashion.
Yeah, and the thing is that, as the lady is now explaining to us, some of the old breeds, which seem to go out of vogue because we got hit with the continental fever probably 30 years ago with the Charolais and the Limousins, the French breeds. But now people are deciding that they want to go back to the traditional. And of course, where do we? We've got to go back to our own old gene pool, and we've got them here. And as the lady said, they're making a hell of a resurgence.
Absolutely. Hannah, what are your thoughts on this whole presentation?
It's a really spectacular display, actually. There's some really fine animals here. Like, obviously, I'm not an expert, but even I can see that they're of a high quality. And it'd be interesting to see which one wins.
As the judges have lined them up, what's the official line, Lou? Is it the one who's left standing at the end? What's the sort of notion? How do we know?
No. They've all been judged yesterday by their various breed judges, so they have got a points score. They're now being judged by other judges on the day, but they've got to take into account the points that were scored yesterday. So if something got 98 points yesterday and another one got 70, there's no way that the beast that only got 70 can go ahead of the 98 points. So it's a case of you're down to decimal points now on the judging systems. And depending on how many rosettes, sometimes they go down as far as 7. They usually will go 7, 6, 5 foot, leaving the tension right till the end, so that you never know which the last one's going to be.
So, Hannah, have you got your eye on any particular beast in question?
I think the Lincoln Red looks absolutely superb, but then there's a really good display of all sorts of breeds here.
There we are, you heard it here. Hannah, the lass from Gloucestershire, putting her hopes and thoughts behind the Lincoln Red, Lou.
Yeah, I'm looking down the line. The third beast down, as we're looking, with the pink sash round its neck, that was the one that stood supreme 14 times last year, and it looks like she's come out looking just as good this year. So if I had to have a bet, that would be where my farthing would go. They're saying don't rush it, get it right.
We're at the stage now, Hannah, where it seems that the result is about to be posted.
Yes, it looks promising.
And Lou, where would you have actually put your money? We've already had Hannah going for the Lincoln Red. What would you have actually said?
I'm going to stay with the blonde.
You're going to go for the Belgian,
blonde,
the British blonde. Okay. Any second now, I think the actual thing will be there. Very purposeful stride by the judge. You mentioned, of course, one of our semi-regular contributors, Mr. Seal, is there. Not wearing headgear today.
Very unusual. He normally has the old deer stalker on, but he probably got too wet.
Unless he's actually using the ironic turn of phrase, etc. We, of course, know from Bill Cowling, the honorary show director at the Yorkshire show, that cattle stewards wear the bowler hats. Bidlack City gentlemen in London used to, and so on. Is there any sort of historical reason as to why the black bowler has become so associated with stewards in the cattle area?
The black bowler was invented down in Norfolk to be worn by gamekeepers. It is a hard hat, it is a safety hat, and when there were a lot of poachers about, brandishing sticks, etc., the keepers wore them as a safety measure. And it's just carried on with the country tradition. The stewards at all the agricultural shows wear the bowler.
So we're talking about an early incarnation of the health and safety scenario there.
Yes, it sounds like it. But they all look very smart. I was admiring them earlier. I think I need to get a bowler hat for myself for county shows.
Clearly. It all will sort its way through from that perspective. Are there any disputes? I mean, do we have disputes occasionally occurring, Lou, in events such as this? I mean, I know that sometimes, as we've commented on, that judges have different things that they're looking for in terms of when they're making that particular judgment. Mm-hmm. Have there been any cases where you found that literally it's been a quite controversial decision?
No, and the handy thing is that you always have an odd number of judges, so you've always got to get a result. You can't get a draw when you're dealing with an odd number of judges, plus you've always got a referee judge in case two animals do tie on level points.
So a bit like the American sporting scenario, draws are not really options.
Draw is like kissing your sister.
Red judge has given 5 points. No. British blue judge, 7 points. The Chamolet judge, 7 points. The Limited judge, 8 points. The Scimitar judge, 5 points. The Longhorn judge, 9 points. The Aberdeen Angus judge, 7 points. And the other pure breeds, 5 points. Given, we believe, 53.
She won't. Doesn't win it today, then.
Next parade, we have the Aberdeen Angus.
I suppose it's a good way of actually ensuring that numeracy is being maintained, really.
Yeah.
And they do have that sort of outline by saying we believe it's been given a total of, etc. So always allowing a certain amount of line from that. How many have we actually got to go now, Lou? I mean, we seem to be sort of moving at a reasonable pace.
One more after this, 5 minutes, and we'll have the result. And then we can go and get dry.
And the other pure breeds,
as opposed to the winners of the championship, who obviously will possibly get somewhat more inebriated, or maybe not. Maybe it's on to the next show. Well, this is one of the things, of course, we used to say about country shows, is that depending on the judge, you would probably select the shows, and if it was a winner at one stage, you'd move on to the next one. That seems to be probably less likely in this particular, if this becomes sort of par for the course, then this is kind of going to be a standard sort of way of judging cattle.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it, that it could be fairer, because you don't know what the group judging is going to do at the end of the show. So yeah, some people could say this is fairer than knowing just which single judge you're going to get at a given show.
So the final sort of adding up has actually gone from that point of view. Slight tension there, I know, thought Hannah.
Yes, that one was more universally agreed, I think. 3 points across, apart from one which gave 7. But it's quite nerve-wracking, I expect, for the competitors.
One of the lines you used to regularly use, Lou, and I've used it myself and quoted you and given full acknowledgement, is in this business you're either a winner or you're dinner. Does this apply here as well?
Not really, because all these animals obviously have got a hell of a good breeding program ahead of them, whether they be males or females. And the other thing is that once an animal gets over a certain age, it's not allowed to go into the food chain for various reasons. So, no, most of these animals, they are the best of their respective breeds, so they will have a long and happy life.
Challenge for me would be actually saying, well, okay, how do you compare an Aberdeen Angus with a Lincoln Red or indeed a Charolais? I mean, you know, they do seem to be, it's a kind of champion of champions scenario. Is that the line that we're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I hear it said that how do you judge apples against pears? It's dead easy. You judge the apple against the standard of perfection for the apple and give it its score, 98.5%. Then judge the orange or the pear. Judge it against the standard of perfection for its own type.
You're listening to the somewhat extended coverage we're actually providing for this livestock event, and we're sticking with it for a few moments before we actually move on to a couple of other areas here on Southside Broadcasting and the Midweek Drive On location in association with, of course, Ather & Co. and Pharma Nord Nutritional Supplements Limited and Multivits. Hannah, we're still waiting for the final confirmation here. I don't know if it's more nerve-wracking for the owners or for the actual cattle themselves. I mean, you know, the workers are sort of interested, etc.
I think all but the other breeds, all of the others seem to be fairly calm. This one seems to be fairly agitated, stepping on its shower's toes.
So in third place, we have the British Simmental with 68 points.
There we are.
This is catalogue number 3169 from TNS Mortar, Horsford Vanity.
So there we are, Hannah.
In third place, we have the British Limousin with 67 points.
Quite close, then. Quite close.
Widdersdale Donna from Marwood and Paddyfield.
So we didn't quite call it right there, did we?
No, not quite, neither.
The Charolais with 55 points from J.R. Webb, Greywood Echo.
When you see 55 points third, and the first and second, 67 and 68 points, they were pretty well clear. And she's a fine big cow there with a nice calf, her calf being led round with her in the ring.
As you said, possible potential for Eurovision contamination if we were taking the line that Terry Wogan and indeed Graham Norton does.
Yes, I'm afraid that we've seen that here today.
Now, I was saying earlier that last year Alan Sennett had a wonderful connection with Lou Bevan about sort of cattle and all the rest of its pieces. Alan, we've just seen a wonderful judge scenario, but we were quite surprised because it became almost Eurovision-esque in line, etc. Lou, questions for Alan from this one?
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen where you don't leave it down to one judge, where they have a team of judges that all hold up the point scores.
Yeah, this is the interbreed competition.
Yeah.
Where basically each judge who's already judged one of the breeds now in effect has a vote as far as the interbreed is concerned. What you can't do is vote for your own breed. So the Lincoln Red judge would be allotting marks to all the other breeds and so on through the system. So yeah, it's quite a good way because you get a lot of individual expertise in there. And you can't promote your own, so you are being able to look across and take a broader view of the whole sort of stand. And it makes sure we get some interesting opinions.
interesting opinions. Yeah, that's a very politically correct way of saying it. Yes, yeah, very good.
And the occasional argument, possibly, but that's another matter entirely.
So is this going to be standard practice now across our other agricultural shows? Is this an official line that we're taking, that we will have this kind of judging, scoring scenario?
I think it varies according to which show. I think other shows have been doing it longer than we have. I think the Great Yorkshire, in fact, do more commentary, and they have things like public judging, where you can vote for, from the crowd around the ring, who's won a particular class. Now, not technically dramatically good, shall we say, but just great fun. And this business of involving the public. I was talking this morning for my own programme to somebody on the in the livestock lines. I said, he's saying, you know, he isn't directly selling to the public, but giving this impression of here are well-maintained animals, farmers who are keen to talk about it, it does give the public much more confidence in the meat that they're buying. They can look at it, see, this is local, I went to the show, I talked to people who produce this meat, and therefore I know that this is a good bet, and that is pretty good.
Yeah, and I think we're finding this now with the amount of British breeds which are now coming back into vogue. I know, speaking to the slaughtering companies, some are killing 3 days a week, British and British crosses only. So we are coming steadily away from where we were all railroaded down the continental route.
That's right, and in fact, I think one supermarket, Waitrose in particular, is now marketing under the individual breeds. I know the Lincoln Red signed up to it recently. I've seen Hereford selling through them in the past. So you can actually go there and say, this is what my dad would have regarded as an ideal piece of beef, and you can choose it there, look on the stand, and that bit more information helps, because otherwise you have this sort of, you're offered a plastic tray with a pink slab of something in it, and it could be anything. But if you can look at it and see that little bit of marbling in the meat, which gives you that kind of quality, so when you cook it through it's improved, and you know it's come from a good source, then you can be a little bit more certain about what it is, and that you're getting something that is a bit special for your tea.
Hannah?
Yes, I agree completely. Like, it's good to know where your food's coming from. It's good to know that it's sourced well. And I think that coming to the Lincolnshire show and other county shows as well, it really kind of promotes knowing where your food is coming from. And indeed, like projects like Ladies in Pigs promoting red tractor meat really does help.
Pretty much on message, isn't she?
I'm delighted to hear it. And just, can I just also offer you one sort of nice little story? I was just coming across the showground earlier. The rain had stopped at that point, but there was a couple of very happy small boys, and I suspect they'd just been bought brand new pairs of Wellington boots, and they were going from puddle to puddle, having a fantastic time, splashing their way along. So whatever the weather is, somebody will love it.